my own son and daughter. Behold this love. Behold this love that is overpowering the world with a message of love and goodness and grace and mercy. Behold this love that says, I want to turn you into more and more of the image of my son Jesus. This love which changes us from the inside out. This great love where there is no escaping it. Lord, I just speak to every single person here who hasn't heard this message before of how good you are and how loving you are. And I say any activity besides the Holy Spirit will cease right now. Let their eyes see and their ears hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You, Holy Spirit, have prepared the way for this message, for this day. This message of the love of the Father who's calling out to the whosoever wants to come into His family. This message, Holy Spirit, let it reaffirm something in our minds, something in our hearts of the love of the Father. The love that turns us the right way up. The love that transforms us from inside out. The love that takes us from being dead and makes us alive. This love transforms us and makes us whole. To those, Lord, that are sick in their bodies, Lord, this message transforms us. To those that are sick, Lord, in their minds, they're battling with depression or whatever it might be, transform them, Lord. Your Spirit transforms us. All of this is for your glory, Lord. This morning I was just closing my eyes in worship and I just saw literally trophies, golden trophies, standing all across this hallway. And I felt like God saying, these are all trophies of grace. All trophies of grace. And encrusted with the most beautiful gems, the richest of gold. And the Lord just saying that we are His prized possession. We are His sons and daughters. We are His family. And He celebrates over us. Every second of every day, even while we're sleeping, even while we're doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing, He celebrates over us. We are His. He is ours. We are in Jesus. Jesus is in Him. And He is in the Father. And the Holy Spirit is in us. The Lord has made it so that we will always be one with Him. What a beautiful, glorious declaration, Lord, that for eternity, we are with You. And You are with us. You are our Father, the lover of our soul. You are altogether beautiful. And so right at the outset of whatever we say, Lord, we say we want to behold You. We want to see You in Your majesty. We want to see You in Your glory, Lord. We want to come into the place, Lord, just even for some people that have a revelation of grace, Lord, just take away the veil, Lord. Take away the veil, Lord, that there'd be something of heaven that radiates out of them, Lord. As You shine on us, as You shine in us, let that glory radiate out. Let the world see, taste and see that our Father is good and His mercies endure forever. All glory to You, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 His word. He does the confirming and we come into line with what He is preaching in us, through us. And we come into line with that and then He says, now that's what I want to confirm. And signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word. And more and more we see the preaching of this gospel, the more and more we'll see of signs and wonders taking place. Amen? So I'll start at the beginning again. Dear Lord, thank You for bringing us here this evening. Amen. And so I hope you've got... I said to Michelle on the way here, I said, if I died and I would want one message to be shared with my grandkids... And their grandkids and their grandkids. I've never come across a topic that has actually so captivated me, so absolutely enthralled me as the absolute crux of all things as this message tonight. And so I'm going to ask my wife to download the message because computers crash and these notes are going to be gone. And I'm going to just ask Gary to be ready with the scriptures. And I'm going to encourage you not to take notes tonight. Just let the scriptures wash you with that, will renew your mind to the truth of the goodness of God. Amen? The notes are going to be up for you. So if you're saying, like, I want to take notes because I want to be able to follow up, I want to make sure that they're available on the net. And I've got a whole bunch of scriptures that's speaking about this topic. I'm not going to get into what it is just yet. I'm going to surprise you with it a little bit later on. But please don't take any notes. Before we do that, I'd like to ask if the house lights could be on. And if we can prepare whatever we'd been come this evening to give in our hearts. Last time I preached, I completely forgot about it. And so I don't want to make the same mistake again. I firmly believe the reason why we give in the gospel of grace is because we want to see this gospel propagated through where we are, and we want to see this gospel continue to be propagated throughout the ends of the earth. And there's a second reason, which says that when we give, it results in thanksgiving to God. That there's people, as you've brought your share your bread this evening, as you're going to be tithing, and that money then gets appropriated correctly. People turn to God and say, "Thank you, Lord, for this, because without this, you know, I'd be so broken, I'd be so lost." And so that's why I give. There's no other reason I can think better to give than those two reasons. Amen. That there's going to be people celebrating God's goodness over their lives, and there's going to be people in all avenues of the physical as well as the spiritual as the gospel gets preached in their lives. So take whatever you've predetermined. I'd like to ask those that are giving to come up tonight, and as we make ready for it. And I just want to pray, because part of the miracles of signs and wonders is also a multiplication of seed. And I just saw a picture of people throwing seed in the ground, and the seed was having seed, if that makes much sense. It's weird, like the seed was just having seeds, and there were just more and more. So take whatever you have. I want to pray over that. Lord, we thank you. Take whatever it is. If you do it electronically, you know by faith, you lay a hold of that, what I'm about to pray now. Thank you, Lord, for every seed is good seed. And Lord, we sow it because we believe that you're going to return the harvest. And the harvest that we want from this seed that we're sowing tonight are faces that are transformed with the message of the gospel. Lord, that they would come in with their faces downcast and burdened and dead in their spirits and leave this place with a heart transformed, a heart of flesh replacing their heart of stone. Well, that's why we're giving tonight. We thank you for this seed that we're sowing. We thank you, Lord, for the seed that we sow, which would bring much more fruit than that, Lord. That people that are in desperate need of anything physical, food, and the like, Lord, that they would receive that and give you thanks and give you the glory for what we're about to give tonight. And in that light, Lord, not because we give, but because of your very nature, I speak blessing over every single person here, that whether they give or not, that you would bless them financially, Lord, much more than what their barns can contain, to the point of overflowing, that they say, what shall we do with this extra money? We have no better cause than to give towards this message that's liberated us. So Lord, we sow the seed, and we look forward to the great harvest that we've already seen and the great harvest still to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sorry, can I put this inside here? Thank you. Tom. Well, I hope you're ready. If you do have your Bibles, there's one key verse I'm going to be pulling up. It's in the Old Testament, if you're not too clued up where it is. And I'll get to it now. But have you ever tried, who of you have tried to explain this message of the gospel of grace to some friends, and they haven't quite got it as yet? I mean, like that you've tried, but you maybe even tried to explain it, and it hasn't quite come out like you've represented it, like it's represented in your heart. Any hands? One or two people. Okay, there's a good few people. How many people got it right? That should be everyone else. No hands. Okay. Well, this sermon should help you quickly get the real difference between what other people preach as the transforming power of the gospel and the real transforming power of the gospel. See, a lot of people that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, many people that we see around the communities nowadays, they all believe that God is love, right? We all believe God is love. We all believe God is powerful. We all believe God is gracious. We all believe that God wants all to be saved. We all believe that that God is righteous and holy. We believe that God is just. He is faithful. We believe that God moves miraculously, that He delivers people from all kinds of sickness. And we believe that God uses the gifts that He has given us. So everyone that believes in the cross of Jesus Christ is preaching that. So you kind of got to sit down and say, what is this missing thing? What is this missing thing? Because a lot of people are kind of saying, it's that grace message. You've got to watch out for that thing. You know, it's very dangerous. And what is the essence of that message? You know, you kind of say, well, it's this thing. And you kind of like flop around trying to find what the essence of it is. So what's the big difference? I would like to, Gary, to put up, and if you can, turn to Psalm 97, verse 2. While you're turning there. Okay, let me read it. I'm going to wait for Gary to get up, because I think my translation's a little different. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Think about that for a second. This throne is a two-legged throne. It's not three, it's not four or more. It's got two legs. It says, much like this pulpit. There we go. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So before his throne is placed, there's this foundation of righteousness and justice. And if I'd like to pause there for a second, I say to you, what percentage out of 100% righteous? If God is 100% righteous, how righteous are you? You know, would you? Don't say it out loud. Your friends that know, you're going to say, really? So, you know, 30%. It's much less. No, I've seen you. You're nasty. But if you could answer that, you would say to yourself, just answer to yourself, say, how righteous am I if I'm going to compare myself to the holy, holy God? How righteous am I? Would that figure that you have in your head be different to the people to your left or right? Behind you? You know, some of them are real cute, you know? They're going to say they're 90%, but we know. See, the word righteousness there means this. It says, righteousness is purity in character and action. It's right standing with God. So when it says that, the two pillars of his throne is righteousness and justice. The one is the purity of actions, of purity in character and actions, and right standing with himself. Because God is complete in himself. You know that the scripture says 520 times that the word righteousness is used. And only 348 faith is used. So if you were sitting and saying, well, I know the difference is faith. I'd say to you, well, let's have a look a little bit later on and we'll see if that really is the difference still for you. As the difference between what we believe and what other people are preaching as the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is important because this is the very foundation of his throne. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. I'd like to propose this to you. To what measure we believe affects how we relate to God. We recognize that he is 100% righteous. God is 100% righteous. So the measure how we are righteous depends on how we can approach him. So if I'm 95% righteous and God is 100% righteous, then there's that little 5% I've got to watch out in case his hand comes around a little quick and on the side of my head. You know? It's okay, you can smile. Yeah, it's all right. To the measure what we believe affects what we believe for. See, we believe that God is 100% just. Remember, it's righteousness and justice. Righteous and just. Our God's throne, the foundation of his throne is righteous and just. 100% both. And if God is 100% just, then we have to recognize that if we don't see ourselves as 100% righteous, there is that small reason that we can actually be disqualified from being found in him. If God says, no, I'm righteous, I'm 100% righteous, and that's my foundation, that's one of my foundations on the throne. And I'm also 100% just. So if you are not 100% righteous, my justice will have to be measured out to the measure that you fall short. That's what the Bible's saying. Here we go. You see that there was another covenant promised a long time ago. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied. If I can ask for Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Listen to the beauty of this scripture. Man, when I first read this, whoever was preaching at the time, I got lost. All I heard was, you know, Mr. Bean in the church, that wah, 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 wah. Some of you guys are hearing that right now. That's okay. I understand. I've been there before. Because when I read the scripture, everything else was wah, wah, wah. And I was just, whoa, I can't believe how God has just opened up here. Here we go. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch. See the word righteous again. A king who will reign wisely and do what is just. Get that? Just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Hey? Oh, man. He is just, he is righteous. And he is our righteousness. It's not dependent on what you do. He is your righteousness. Jeremiah 31:31-34. I'm going to read this from my one. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke. Though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I'll put with the house, sorry, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they no longer shall each one teach his neighbor, and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So there we can see, there's another righteousness that was promised. So they've just come out of this covenant, the laws, and here's Jeremiah standing up saying, there's another covenant coming. There's another covenant coming, and if you were trying to make yourself righteous by sacrificing the relevant sacrifices that needed to be done, they were covering you, there's going to be a day that comes when God will make another covenant with you. And He will remember your sin no more. So a lot of people saying like, no, he's just covering it up. He's just covering up that sin. And so he doesn't actually remember it. It's like this, amnesiatic father in heaven, who just, what is that? I don't know what you just did. I forgot about it. And the reason why he can't remember it, we'll get into another scripture now. It says why he can't remember it. See, the promise of the seed was through a righteous man. James 2:23. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God. Here we go. This has been, you know what I'm praying for? I'm praying for that as I read these scriptures, the Holy Spirit is just going to wash it over you. Because, let me put the handbrake up on that. I was going to mention this a bit later on. I had a guy that came through this week and he said, like, I don't know, I just had a dream. That God said, I must come here. Our business is flailing. And we need to get some help. And God just said, I must come here. And get prayed for. And so he arrived at our church offices with a gift offering. And he said, "This I felt God say I must bring an offering." So here we go. I brought this offering. And I sat him down. And before we even laid hands on him, before we even prayed for him, I started preaching this to him. Because once we get this, it starts to change and affect our faith, what we believe. Because we recognize that if we are 100% righteous, there is no possible reason for disqualification from the prayers that are declared over our lives. And I literally saw his eyes opening up, and he was believing it, and his wife was believing it, and it was just scripture. It was just the promises of God, the fulfillment of the promises of God, and the Holy Spirit was just, and when we declared, there was faith in that place. Like Sherwin and I were both there just declaring over this family because they had a little daughter with him. And it was just amazing because you could see there was no reason for their hearts to say, I'm possibly going to be disqualified for this because of these reasons. They knew without a shadow of a doubt, this is what God wants for them for breakthrough. So while we see that's the fruit of it, this is the root of it. And the more I'm going to be preaching on the righteousness of God, remember I said is that if I want anything to be preached to my grandkids and their grandkids, it's that we are 100% righteous all the time. And I'll get into why we need to be righteous all the time now. Here we go. See, this promise of the seed was through a righteous man. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteous. righteousness, sorry, and he was called a friend of God. You see that Abraham believed that God wanted to bless him. That was the context of the scripture. God says, I want to bless you. He says, fair enough, I believe you. God says, you're righteous. Sorry? I just said, I believe you want to bless me. And now you're telling me I'm righteous. It just makes no sense. Because nowhere in that passage of scripture, his righteousness that was God declared over him had nothing to do with sin. Can I say that again? God said to him, you're righteous. And he goes, God doesn't any little cursor, little add-on there, kind of saying, yeah, it's because, you know, because of these reasons. He just said, I want to bless you. Okay, you're righteous. There was no sin involved, no mention of sin. And the word sin, I'd say, is a nature or action that's contrary to the nature or action, the character of God. So Abraham's kind of saying, you want to bless me? Okay, great. And he's saying, you're righteous. God's saying, you're righteous. There's no mention of, but you, your character is a little bit different to mine because I'm messing up hopelessly. Yeah, I've done some terrible things. That's contrary to who you are and your character and your nature and what you would do and wouldn't do. But just because he says, I believe you, God responds and declares him righteous, and it goes on to say he was a friend of God. And God was just drawing him closer and closer. There was no covering righteousness. God didn't say, okay, well, I'm gonna turn a blind eye to this sin, this things that you're getting involved with that are contrary to my character. I'm just going to turn a blind eye. I'm just going to cover you a little bit with that, but so I can still hang out with you, but I already know what's going on here. There was no degrees of righteousness that Abraham had. He was with God. He was righteous. Why? Because God is 100% righteous. He cannot fellowship with that level of intimacy if Abraham himself wasn't righteous. And God made him righteous, not by any action of his own, but just by believing in what God had said. The next point I want to make is that it's either one or the other. You can't kind of say, well, I'd like to kind of dabble in a bit of both if you don't mind. Romans 11:6 says, but if it is by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. This man that I've told you about, as I'd finished sharing with him, he wanted to get up and stand up. I said, listen, I really feel that you need to rest. This is a gift that God is giving you, this gift of grace. This is a gift that God has given you, a place of rest and effortlessness. So don't try and stand up and say, because of these offerings that I've given the church or because I'm standing up, that God wants to bless me. No! He wants to bless you despite you. He wants to bless you despite you. See, just sit down and rest. I really feel like you must just enjoy the presence of God, and we're going to declare these things over you. And so afterwards, after we'd finished up with him, I said to him, I said, do you know, remember that word that I had for you that it was a place of rest? I said, look at what offering you brought. Do you know what he brought? A whole big bag, a set of duvet and pillows and sleeping stuff. And I said, you know, God's word to you prophetically was that you're to rest and receive this gift. Because if you could do anything to deserve it, you would be disqualified from it being called a gift. It's a free gift. It's on the house. All you have to do is just receive it. And so while the word to you was receive, rest, receive, rest. Look at what the offering you brought. Like a type of, you can't get, you know, you can't jump up and down on your bed. Well, unless you're my kids. But his offering was of like a place of rest. You know, just kind of like in your bed, you just sit down there, rest, receive, rest, receive. See, this was the very word that God had told you to bring as an offering, is the very word that God is giving back to you, to just rest and receive. It's a gift. It's free. All you've got to do is take it. See, the two types of righteousness that are spoken about. There's one that you can obtain by pursuit. Romans 9:30 says, what shall we say then? I'm going to wait a little bit for Gary to catch up with the scriptures. That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. So those frot muchus that were outside, Gentiles, they weren't even trying to be good. They were just champion sinners. You know, they were like, whoa, man, we are the best of sinners. And they weren't even trying to be righteous. And this is what Paul's kind of saying, like, hey, all those guys that were out there, they weren't even trying to be righteous. They've got it. You know what a slap in the face that must have been for them. Oh, so those guys have got it. And what about us? We've been sacrificing, poor little lamb every time, you know? Those guys got it, but I was slaching and chopping in abattoirs. They got it, they obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. I believe it. They're righteous, sorted. But the Israel who pursued, that's why I said it's by pursuit. They pursued a law that would lead to righteousness. So if they could fulfill this law, the Ten Commandments, they could get to right, they could be righteous. But it says there afterwards they did not succeed in reaching that law. Unattainable. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. That's the one type. A righteousness that can be pursued for. The second one is one that is obtained by faith. And he, Genesis 15:6. I'm just going to read this out. And he, Abraham, which is speaking about Abraham, believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. Romans 10:3. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, speaking about the Jewish nation, they, speaking about self-righteousness, they're trying to, their own works trying to achieve to become righteous, did not submit to God's righteousness. Philippians 3:9 says this, and be found in him, which is speaking about him as Paul, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness of God that depends on faith. See, you can get righteousness two ways. You can go in a pursuit and never cross that finish line, because we'll see why you can never get there. And there's one that just says by faith. It says, God, I believe you, that you want to make me righteous. You might have been a Christian for 5 years, 10 years, you might even be a believer here tonight. God's call to you tonight is that just by acknowledging Him, His Son, Jesus Christ, who made that way. Because remember, the two pillars are righteousness and justice. This righteousness by faith would not be freely available to you unless this pillar was standing strong. Which says that when Jesus stood on the cross and said, "It is finished," He said, God's justice has been fully satisfied so that you can be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is deep, but this is when the Bible says, renew your minds daily. This is the stuff that it's talking about. It's not talking about, hey Lord, just receive your grace, receive your grace. It's talking about recognize that your righteousness is the free gift of God, and that righteousness that you receive is the very essence of God's righteousness Himself living in you. Then there's no reason for disqualification. No reason for the accuser to come and say, yeah, but you thought this, you did that, you said this. Say, it's fine. I receive my righteousness by faith. 100%. You see that one passage of Scripture says, the righteousness of God. So you're not receiving Steve Wheeler's 99.999% righteousness. You are receiving God's righteousness. 100% righteous, immediately, by faith. See, it's impossible to fulfill the whole law. Deuteronomy 28:1, Gary, if you can bring it up. Because, you know, a lot of people say, they quote Galatians 3:10, which says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." So you're kind of saying, yeah, that's Paul's writing. But look, God actually prophesy this again in Deuteronomy 28:1. "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do how much of His commandments? All His commandments that I command you today, the Lord God will set you high above the nations of the earth." And there was a, if we didn't fulfill how much? All the commandments, you would be under a curse. And so even then, God was saying, hang on, there's a new covenant coming, but this one that I'm giving you now, if you can fulfill this pursuit, remember the two different kinds of righteousness? By pursuit, if you could try and get, you'd have to fulfill. You guys can say it. The more you say it, the more you believe it. If I cannot fulfill all the requirements of the law, then I'm going to be under a curse and I'm going to fall short. Then my righteousness will be lesser than that of the Father. But Galatians, as I just read it out to you, says that Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. Romans 10:4. I'm going to go through these quite quickly. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Listen to that. For righteousness. For righteousness. We quote these scriptures so often, but if you just look at the words righteousness, you realize this is the essence of everything that they've been promising about. Christ was the end of the law. When he said it is finished, he says, now justice is fulfilled. You can stand righteous. I was the end of the law so that you can be called 100% righteous. Listen to this one. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, you and me, he being God, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might be called the righteousness, again, righteousness of God. So I'd like to ask you a question, because I've heard some people talking about, no, that's a covering righteousness, and then we're going to have the full righteousness when we get into heaven. And it just dawned on me this afternoon. It says that Jesus was made to be sin, who knew no sin. He was perfection. He was sinless. He was beautiful. So that in him, so we're in Christ Jesus, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. I'd like to ask you, if it is a covering righteousness, that you just get this like little covering righteousness that covers you until you get your glorified body, when are you in Christ Jesus right now? Or later? Which one? Are you in Christ Jesus later that you get the full righteousness? Or are you in Christ Jesus now? Because if you are in Christ Jesus right now, you have to be 100% righteous. Because if you weren't and there was some minuscule measure of your righteousness not measuring up, it would be like a little blemish that you just kind of got to dig out and get rid of. But because we are in Christ Jesus now, you have full surety that we are the righteousness of God now. And there's no degrees of righteousness. What God declares is righteous, is righteous. Our righteousness is fulfilled in Christ. Romans 8:1 to 4 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. When you stand, the accuser stands at you late at night and says, I saw what you were watching. I knew you lied. And he comes to bring his little thoughts of accusing and says, you're such a terrible, puffy Christian. You can stand on the scripture. It says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Can you feel that freedom? I can just see people right now just kind of going, hey, you don't have to worry about your actions because there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you might be sitting here tonight saying, well, I don't know if I'm in Christ Jesus. That's good. We're going to come to you just now. But it carries on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous, look at me here, righteous requirements of the law, righteousness and justice, fulfillment of the law, might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, our Father recognized that we fall short of His glory. But in this love that we still have all to measure up if we could possibly take eternity to do that. He had to be just. He had to be true to Himself and say, this punishment that you require needs to be fulfilled somewhere. And it got fulfilled on the cross. So the one throne, the one platform of His throne could stand strong. He is just. So that we could be this pillar, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The freedom that comes with that means that the enemy cannot accuse you. The enemy cannot bring doubt. And the more you wash your mind with this thing, the more you will realize unbelief starts to seep out. The more you see your mind is renewed to the fact that you are transformed, no longer to go back to any direction. But you have been transformed completely, a new creation. John 1:9, I want to finish this off. It's not, again, with the covering righteousness. It's not a covering righteousness, it's a removal of sin. Listen to this. The Bible says that there was no one in heaven, not in heaven, there was no one on earth greater in all the earth than John the Baptist. That was Jesus speaking. Right? But he proclaimed something so powerful. When he said Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to cover the sin of the world." Right? No. Come to take away the sin of the world. To remove it, some translations have. So there are things that you're battling with. The things of your thoughts, your mind, your actions, things that you feel like, why would God want to bless my business? I've just got involved in a shady deal, a little back handle, side handle, under the table, that you've just done, God says, I can remember it no more. Why? Why did God say, I remember your sins no more? Because it's not there. It's been removed. The Lamb of God removed the sin of the world and stood over here on this side. That's the one thing. Just so that we could stand this side, righteous. It's a beautiful gospel, this. Can I just ask everyone's eyes to be closed? Because I really, this thing kept coming up about people that haven't responded yet to this message of the grace of God. And you might be here for the first time. You might have been coming here for a couple of weeks. Maybe you just actually don't know how you got here. That's just the Holy Spirit doing what He does best. And maybe you've kind of recognized that you actually are not in Christ Jesus. And that Jesus is something that you used to believe in, or somebody that you a religion that you affiliate yourself to, but you actually don't have this revelation of what Jesus has done for you, and you want to respond to that. After hearing this, you want to respond to that message and say, I believe it. Because you know God wants to make you 100% righteous right now. He doesn't want you to walk around with that guilt or shame. He doesn't want you to walk around thinking that you're 99% righteous and that God is 100% righteous, that if you just try a little harder, He can make you 100% righteous. It's got nothing to do with your efforts. It's got to do with you receiving a free gift. And if you want to receive that gift of righteousness tonight, it's freely available. All you have to do is respond in a prayer of thanks. So if that's you, just pray after me. In your heart, you can do it quietly. God sees your heart. He responds to your heart. But when you believe that He wants to make you 100% righteous, He transforms you. He does all the work so that you can live free the way He intended you to live. So if that's you, just pray in your heart, thank you, Lord, for your beautiful Son, Jesus Christ, that fulfilled the law so that I could be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come into my life, transform me. Thank you that your word says that I'm now a new creation, that I'm no longer what I used to be, but I've been completely changed into something brand new. Thank you that you have made me righteous, that I will always be righteous, because I will always recognize the finished work of the cross. Thank you for your glorious love. In Jesus' name. I'd just like to ask, all the heads are still bowed, if you did respond to that, and you did pray that in your heart, you might have been a Christian your whole life, but maybe you felt like you wanted to actually say to God, I want your righteousness now. I don't want to try and be righteous, my own righteousness anymore. I want to have your righteousness. If you pray that prayer, could you just raise a hand or look at me and just identify me, just kind of wink at me if you, I won't read into it. Thank you. Anyone else? Thanks for that one hand. I really appreciate it. Anyone else? I really feel like there's another one to two people here. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. There we go. Anyone else? There's a 3 hours. I want to just give it another couple more seconds. Thank you. Hey, it's lovely when we respond to this message, eh? Can I ask the musicians to come up? Because I believe faith has been stirred. If you have a need that can only, now let me say this again, if you have a need that can only be settled with God, you've got some absolute breakthrough that you need. It might be a physical thing. You might need healing in your body. You might need a breakthrough in your business. I believe God says He's going to confirm what word He wants to confirm. And I believe this is the word He wants to confirm. I'm going to be as bold as to say is that He is going to confirm this word. That's what I've got faith for. I believe He's going to confirm this word. So if you have, I'm going to ask you to just come up right now and stand up front here. If you've just responded in the altar call, come through to the front now too. So people won't know if you've responded to the altar call, if you want prayer for some miracle. I'm talking about a miracle. I'm talking about something that would just, you could stand up here in front and say, you won't believe it. And you could stand and look at these sea of faces and say, wow, look at what God has done. If that's you, stand up and come to the front. I want to give people some time to figure out whether they need a miracle or not. There's something been scratching your heart for a long time and you're kind of like, hey, I don't know. You need to be up here. Someone approached me this morning and said, you know, I had a prophetic word for someone and they never, and then after the cell meeting, they came up and said, yeah, that was for me. You know, can I still pray for that person? And I said, yeah, but the problem is that when a person sits back and says, I don't know if this word is for me. I don't know. It could be. I'm just too shy. I've got a fear of man. I'm scared what people will think. Unbelief creeps in. And the person can try and pray as much as they want. But once that unbelief comes in, it's hard to receive that gift. Because it's really, Jesus said, it's this unbelief that's causing the failure that you're seeing in the miraculous side. So if you feel like if there's ever an opportunity, and you've been up here maybe 20 times or 30 times and nothing's happened, this message is what God wants to confirm. Amen? Just to show you guys something here. How's this? These people are the ones that have responded saying, I need prayer for something, right? But they're the ones that are going to be praying for people because they recognize that it's not by their own, it's not by getting James up or Steve up or Sherwin up or Bill up or anyone else to kind of just come and say, whoa, I've got the anointing glory. None of that. It's because of the righteousness of God that is now living in you. You have the full authority, even though you haven't seen breakthrough yourself in your own situation, that you can have full surety that God is wanting to work through you. Hey? So right where you are, just find someone next to you, around you, preferably that doesn't know you, because I'm trusting God for, if you know someone, hop, skip and a jump, and if there's two or three people, that's fine. But I believe there's words of knowledge going to come through here. I believe that prayers are going to be prayed and be prayed in faith. Because you recognize there's no reason why God will disqualify my prayers for this person. And God's wanting to confirm His word. So quickly, just stand next to each other. I'm going to ask the rest of us can get into. We're just going to carry on standing up while these guys minister to one another. Because you know what? God wants the glory for this. When they stand up, it's not going to be Jimmy prayed or so-and-so prayed. It's going to be Joe Average said, and you won't believe what happened next. Amen? You guys wait and see what happens. Let's stand together and let's worship this King of Kings. Lord, we do. We want to respond and say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that fulfilled the one part of your throne, Lord, that is just. You are righteous and you are just. And Lord, that if He had never come to die for us, we would never have this love that pursues us and hankers after our hearts and yearns for us to respond. But because He did, we can stand strong with full assurance to be able to pray, to be able to declare, to speak where there is nothing, that there would be something, to bring the kingdom of darkness and throw it completely out and bring in the kingdom of light. Lord, we are testimonies to Your throne that You are just and You are righteous. And Lord, let that truth, Lord, settle in our hearts. You are our God. We are Your King. Sorry. You are our King and our God. I just wanted to read the scripture again. Clouds and thick darkness are all around Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of His throne. Let's glorify this King. Go for it. still haven't found someone yet, could you just raise a hand and I can make sure that you get prayed for? For some of us that are here, I'd encourage you to just stir up something in your heart and say, Lord, I believe this. Give me a word for someone here. There might be someone still sitting out there. You might be having a word for breakthrough, a word of faith for somebody right up here. And yeah, just ask the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, just lead me if you feel free. Lord, we thank you that we have this freedom to access you all the time because you have made us righteous, Lord. I pray that you're standing up right now, you be baptized in the Holy Spirit afresh, that His glory would become manifest in your hearts and your lives. You don't need to wait for someone to come and lay hands on you. God's Spirit wants to minister to you right now where you are. He wants to breathe on you. He wants to embrace you. He wants to love you. He wants to show how good He is towards you. He says, goodness and mercy shall surely follow you all the days of your life. If you want goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life, there is nothing you have to do than other than just receive it and say, Lord, I receive it. I receive your goodness. I receive your mercy. I receive your gospel of grace. I receive your righteousness. Speaking the name of Jesus, and as they spoke the name of Jesus, faith grew, their boldness grew, they got to see the situation for what it really was. Jesus said, if you ask for anything in my name, there it shall be done for you. How precious is the name of Jesus! How precious is the name of Jesus! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. 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 Name above all names. Lover of my soul.
More than yesterday.
That's just kind of just those that have come up for prayer, just had seen a bit of breakthrough. Maybe it was a physical manifestation of healing. I want to give God glory for what He does. Amen. Hey, Lord, we love You, man. I pray that the... Oh, yeah? Really? Praise God. She said that ankle, I think it was a sprain, was it? And the last couple of weeks, I prayed for her myself, and nothing's happened. Don't read into that. And now she comes up, and someone prays for her, and she's healed. Love you. Lovely, 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 lovely. Praise God. Hey, you know what happens when we share testimonies? It stirs up our faith and says, "Hey, Lord, I remember what You've done for me. I remember that." People's promises that were declared over me by the Holy Spirit. It stirs up faith. So I just want to send you out to the blessing that the truth of the righteousness of God that's been revealed to you now would go out with you, and that you will be the light and the salt to this earth. That no one can rob that from you. It's in His Word. He's spoken about it in the Old Testament. He's spoken about it in the New Testament. You've received it. Nothing can change it. We're going to close off this evening. There's a cappuccinos and toasted sammies. And we're just going to just be sensitive to those still praying. And thanks very much this evening. And bless you as you go.